Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is question and answer. We're back again with a new session of answer for you. And I'm here to answer you
the people,
philosophy, aqaid, and other related matters. With your permission, we will move on to the first question. And inshallah, I hope this program will be of use to you and that we will serve you well, inshallah.
I just wanted to know, what is the definition of the Ahl al-Kitab? And if today's Christians and Jews are considered Ahl al-Kitab, or only a few of them?
Okay, this was a lady asking, what is Ahlul Kitab? Can all Jews and Christians, can they be considered Ahlul Kitab or not?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It is a great pleasure to be with you and your listeners again. I'm grateful to be with you and participate in this program. In regard of this question, Ahlul Kitab in Arabic means people of the book or followers of holy scripts. Means that books revealed by God, majorly, Jews and Christians, but some other religions are also combined to them, like Zoroastrians. We have a tradition that Umar bin Khattab asked Imam Ali alayhi salam for this, asked about Zoroastrians. He told, I don't find any mentioning of these people in Quran. So what should I do? What is my duty? Do I treat with them like people of the book or like monotheists and pagan people or worshippers of idols, idol worshippers? Imam Ali alayhi salam told, no, you should consider them among the Ahl al-Kitab, followers of the book. Because originally, in the beginning, they had a prophet sent by God, but later on, they have changed their religion and became to this present situation.
Became a separate religion.
And maybe now they believe in, some of them at least, believe in two gods. But the origin of religion is true and is revealed by God, and God has sent a prophet for them. Means that if they believe in God and believe in the messenger of God and believe in the message of this messenger, they are people of the book. They are Ahlul Kitab.
I once read that the Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam was married to a Zoroastrian woman. Is this correct?
Of course. Because Sulaiman, Prophet Solomon, had wives and also other women he married with them from different nations.
Yes.
Some people count number of these women to 900 or more from all the nations.
Mm-hmm. And, I wanted to ask, certain Christian offshoots of Christianity, like Rastafari, I don't know, maybe groups like the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Church of Mormon, are these included within Ahlul Kitab as well or not? Because some of them have certain, deviated beliefs considered by other Christians.
Of course, I don't think that any of these groups and sects and schools are left without deviation.
Mm-hmm.
But the standard is this: if they believe in the major and basic ideas of religion, that's enough.
Mm-hmm.
And other creeds and beliefs they have accepted recently, it is not contradictory to the basic beliefs, that's enough.
But for example, Rastafaris, they believe that Haile Selassie, the emperor of Ethiopia, that he was God incarnate. And I don't know, how is this possible to to accept within the ahkam of Islam.
The majority of people, especially ordinary people, don't understand these sophisticated and complicated ideas. And are they really in conflict with the basic roots of religion or not?
Mm-hmm.
As I told you, that's enough. If they don't deny God, they don't deny Prophet of God and the Holy Script, that's enough. Because these kind of debates are left for specialists, for experts.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some of them are wrong, and if they come to the table of discussion and debate and academic negotiation, a dialogue, and they have nothing to say upon the true tradition of religion. But it is not in Islam recommended to deal with ordinary people like experts and specialists.
Mm-hmm.
Like the duty of a doctor, like duty of a professor, is not the same with a literated person or a worker, or for example, a person which the level of education of him or her is not so high.
So the minimum requirement is that they believe in one God and that they believe in one of the prophets of Islam.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
But for example, I spoke about the Church of Mormon. They believe that Joseph Smith is a prophet. This is one of the persons that, I don't know, that translated one of their scriptures, one of their holy scriptures. And this was a person, I think, was born one century ago. And considering the fact that Muslims consider the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam as the seal of prophecy, I don't know, doesn't this create some problem in this respect?
Of course, it makes some problem, but maybe not in this regard.
Mm-hmm.
In this regard of grouping them in, for example, believers or followers of book or not.
Yes.
Because we have a lot of discussions, theological discussions, ideological discussions, and there are a lot of mistakes and deviations, and even some thing you cannot consider it from the religion itself, added later on, innovations or bid'ah. But it is not a method of Prophet, peace be upon him, and his real followers, like companions and followers of these companions, especially in a school of Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam, household of Prophet, peace be upon him. They don't hurry up for considering people, for example, non-believers or kuffar and takfir,
mm-hmm.
Is not recommended, is highly prohibited,
mm-hmm.
but only in the case that the person expresses it clearly and declares it that I deny. Even in some such as these situations, we should apologize for him and let him to find out the reality. So it is not good to, it is good to invite people and to join people to the mainstream of religion, not to exclude them, include them, not mm-hmm. exclude them. So yes, the debate is another thing, but sealing them and putting brand of kafir or non-believer on them is another thing.
But within some Christian groups, there's a considerable amount of idol worshipping. If you take Catholicism, for example, you will see a lot of people praying towards statues. And within the Quran, it's written that idol worshippers are considered impure for Muslims and we should not marry them. What's your opinion on this?
Of course, I say some of deviations, some of mistakes is happening and happened during the history, but is not recommended to find excuses to brand people with this kind of seals and brands like idol worshippers or non-believers or blasphemous people or pagan people, mm-hmm. or like this. But yes, we have discussions with them, we have dialogues with them, we have to correct them, and we have our opinion. When we are around the table of discussion, we will tell them, and they will accept that this kind of worship was not existing in the beginning of Christian era also, and is added later on because of influence of some local cultures like Roman culture or, for example, North Europe culture or other. Yes, these are true, and it may be, and of course, not maybe, of course, a lot of this kind of behaviors are forbidden, and maybe they are dangerous. For example, they are very close to the border of idol worshipping. But it is not recommended to hurry up and tell them that they are idol worshippers. Mm-hmm. If they believe in one God and say, yes, I believe in one God, that's enough. They are Unitarians, but they make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
This is a method of some of groups in Islam, like Khawarij, rioters in the early ages of Islam, in the first century of Islam, in the era of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Yes.
They, the first behavior and attitude of them was takfir. Everybody didn't agree with them, either right or wrong. They
considered them disbelievers.
Yes. Mm-hmm. First of all, Khawarij. This was a method for Khawarij. Later on, some groups in Islam, like Salafis, some of Salafis, not all of Salafis. Yes, some of Salafis also. It is very easy for them to accuse people on, for example, blasphemy and innovation and disbelieving. But in a school of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, we should find ways to correct them and to find for them excuses, and in the same time we correct them. For example, I want to tell you a story about two kinds of behaviors. A behavior of Imam Ali alayhi salam, peace be upon him, and another prominent companion of Prophet, peace be upon him. It was in the time that Imam Ali was not in power. Another person was in power and was governor of Islamic world. So somebody came to him and told, I have some special ideas. Let me explain for you, and please find out for me, are these kinds of beliefs Islamic or non-Islamic? He explained for him. He told, I flee from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy.
Mm-hmm.
He told, this is very bad. Second, I, for example, believe and say to Jews and Christians, you are true. So this is very bad. And the third, I love fitna. I love fitna. He told, this is very bad. You are not a Muslim. You are a disbeliever, non-believer. Please take him and kill him, execute him. Imam Ali alayhi salam entered in this moment. So what is happening? They told, this man has told some words, and this man, the governor, ordered to kill him. Imam Ali told, okay, let's ask him again. Maybe he has a correct meaning in mind. Maybe he could not express himself very well, make what he was in heart clear. Let's ask him again. They brought him back again in front of that governor and asked him again, did you tell these words? He said, yes, of course. Imam Ali asked him, may you please explain for us, what do you mean from these words? You flee from mercy of Allah. He said, yes, it's clear. In Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala names the rain as his mercy. When it is raining, I flee from the rain, go to under the roof. So because I'm afraid I catch a cold, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, انظر إلى آثار رحمة الله كيف يحيي الأرض بعد موتها. I flee from رحمت الله, from mercy of God. Is it bad? Both of them said, no. And the second, I say to Jews and Christians, you are true. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, قالت اليهود ليست النصارى على شيء وقالت النصارى ليست اليهود على شيء. I say both of you are true. When Christians say Jews are not true 100%, I say you are right. When Jews say Christians are not 100% true, I say you are right again. So is it bad? He told no. Then the third one, fitna. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, innama amwalukum wa awladukum fitna. Fitna here means examination. We examine you, we test you by your property, by your family, by your children. Do you love them more than Allah, or are you ready to violate some of rulings of Allah because of them or not? Fitna means examination. I love this examination. I love my property. I love my children. And they are called fitna in Quran. Is it bad? This government, okay, if Imam Ali alayhi salam was not here, I committed a sin and killed an innocent person.
Yes.
No, you are true. Okay, go. You are free. So this means that a difference of method to how to solve the problem and how to solve ambiguities and how to solve the differences and differences of ideas. No, we don't hurry up to consider them disbelievers or kuffar.
I have two more questions related to this issue. One of them is this. It's widely accepted amongst the ulama, the scholars of Islam, that Hindus are idol worshippers and ritually impure. Okay? But my question is, as there are some groups within Hinduism that do not accept idol worshipping, but do accept some of, they accept the holy books, but they have a separate tradition, so to say. Are they considered Ahlul Kitab or not?
Why not? If we study about the history of religions and the philosophy of religions and such as this, we find that the Hinduism was a kind of diverted and changed shape of religion of Abraham, peace be upon you. One of the names of this religion is Brahma, Brahmaism. Like they call them Hinduism and Hindus, they call them Brahmans.
Now, this is one of the misconceptions that a lot of people have, that Hindus believe that there's more than just one God.
Yeah.
But in the end, it all leads back to Brahma,
yeah,
who is the creator of all things,
yeah,
and everything else serves
yeah
him.
And Brahma is
yeah
very close to Abraham, and Ibrahim means God of Ibrahim. Their religion is it has a root on a religion of Ibrahim, Brahma. So, but later on they have changed and added something, and
mm-hmm
the tradition has changed and developed in this way. Maybe they didn't consider themselves they are worshippers of these ideals.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted by these ideals to notice to God. So later on, if they consider this physical body a creator, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is not true. And not this physical body. Other gods, smaller gods, they are participating in this, for example, aristocracy of gods. Yes, this is not unitarism. This is not monotheism.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the beginning, it was not like this. It has changed because these religions are very old, maybe thousands of years,
yes,
5,000 years, 4,000 years, 7,000 years. In the beginning, it was not like this. So we don't hurry to call them, for example, polytheists or ideal worshippers or like this. It's
okay
better.
My last question, referring to this thing about Ahlul Kitab. Nowadays, are Christians and Jews considered pure or impure from the point of ritual purity? Because some of the scholars say they are ritually impure, and it's, for example, not permitted to eat the meat that they slaughter, etc.
Yes, slaughtering is another thing, but
uh-huh
being clean or
mm-hmm
being pure is another issue.
Yeah.
Yes, we have to take in consideration some rulings in slaughtering. If this ruling, even by a Muslim,
mm-hmm,
if a Muslim doesn't, for example, follow these orders in slaughtering, we cannot eat the meat. This is another issue. But is he pure or impure? Is he clean or not? Or is considered najis? Is another issue.
Okay.
In this second issue, there are a lot of scholars, jurisprudents, say that the people of the book initially are not impure. They are considered impure because of their behavior, because they eat pork, because they eat drink wine.
Mm-hmm.
If you find somebody is follower of the book and you know him or her closely, and you know that he or she has not such as this commitments and behavior and is clean in his eating or her eating and drinking, so
then
he or
no
she
problem.
Is considered clean. And this has a root in Shia tradition. In there is a tradition from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam in Usul Kafi. It is mentioned in the book of faith, Kitab al-Iman, the first section of Usul Kafi, that young man, that young Christian man, came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and asked about his mother. He told, I have an old mother. She is a Christian. And also, I was Christian, but now I converted to Islam. How should I deal with my mother? Do I consider her impure? Because she needs to me, and I need to be with her and help her. So we want to eat in one dish, we drink from the same dish. What is my duty? Imam didn't give him fatwa directly. She is pure or impure. Imam told, does she drink wine? The young man answered, no. Imam asked, does she eat pork? The young man answered, no. Imam told, okay, no problem. She is pure.
Okay.
This is mentioned in tradition of Shia.
That's very clear.
Thank you very much.
Allah subhanallah, Allah subhanallah, Allah subhanallah, Allah subhanallah, Allah Allah subhanallah, Allah Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah. Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah.
Quran says, God says, "Kun fayakun," Surah Yasin. Please let me know how God speaks.
Okay, this was someone asking the following. In the Quran, Allah says, "Kun fayakun." Okay, in Surah Yasin. Please let me know how does God speak. It's a very, very interesting and beautiful question.
You know, the things in the level of God is different totally from our level.
Mm-hmm.
The divine universe is totally different from our, for example, physical and mankind universe. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking with us by mankind language. A language is usual and is common and is understandable for the mankind, for people. Everybody wants, especially kings and commanders, when they want something, they express it by words. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says means orders. He says kun, be. He says kun means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants and orders and wants this will of him to be implemented.
So it's not literal speaking.
No. إنما أمره إذا أراد شيئا أن يقول له كن فيكون, أن يقول له كن means that he orders that to be and then it will be. So because, and there are a lot of verses in Quran, it is a very interesting chapter of knowledge of interpretation of Quran, commentary of Quran. They call it majaz in Quran.
Yeah.
Majaz means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks, yadullahi fawqa aydihim. Allah subhanahu al arsh istawa. Allah is upon the throne. So there is no real throne and Allah is sitting on it. But means power, means governance. So all of these words should be taken the soul of meaning, not the shape and the, for example, format of the word and meaning as usual. The soul of this is ordering, is commanding. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands. But his command is different from our command. When a king wants to command, yes, he says by words. But maybe in another age, when a commander wants to order something, pushes the button.
Mm-hmm.
So it means commanding. Commanding, usually in these old ages, has a literal form by saying, come, be, go, die. For example, yeah. Sit, stand up, by word. Uh-huh. So it is shown in this usual and familiar shape of expression.
It's like God relates it to our own way of understanding things.
Yeah. Because Allah talks with us, this book, Quran, is a letter to us.
Mm-hmm.
We are meant by this book.
Mm-hmm.
So Allah should talk with us in our language.
I think this was a good answer. We'll be back after a few moments, after a short break. Thank you very much.
Allah, Allah, Subhanallah. Allah, Allah, walhamdulillah. Allah, Allah, subhanallah. Allah, Allah, walhamdulillah. Allahu ya Allah, subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah, walhamdulillah. Allahu ya Allah, subhanallah. والحمد لله الله ولا إله إلا الله الله يا الله والله أكبر.
My question relates to the usage of word نحنو, that it means we and I. The theory is that since Allah has used word نحنو instead of I, there must be more than one God. Thanks.
Okay, so the question of our listener was related to the usage of the word Nahnu wa Ana, which is written in the Quran, which respectively stands for we and I. The theory is that since Allah has used the word Nahnu instead of Ana, there must be more than one God. Please give us your reaction on this.
Thank you very much. Ordinarily, when a governor or a king wanted to speak and show the people that he has a regime, he has a cabinet, he has a government, didn't use word a singular word like me, I. He used the plural form, we. Means that I am not alone. I have a system. I have a regime. I have a group of workers. I am governing them. I am powerful. So this shows the power and the system under control of him.
Yes.
All of us think that the people told that it is referring to angels, archangels. Okay, this is another kind of expression of this meaning. And if we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking from the position and situation of power, is okay. Especially this is used for very, very important works and heavy duties, like, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have revealed this Quran and we are certainly guardian of it, protecting it. Mm-hmm. So it means that we are not alone. I am the governor of the world, the creator of the world, the governor of the world. I have different powers under my control. I have angels, I have people, I have different forces. So don't be in doubt. Believe that I can protect, I can guard this test and this text. Yes. Yeah.
So, contrary to what some people say, we is not the angels speaking in the Quran. This is not correct?
No, they are not speaking, but some of interpreters of Quran, Mufassirun, said that Allah here refers to the angels under his control, especially archangels.
Mm-hmm.
The same meaning, but in different shape, is expressed and revealed.
I see. Okay. Yes, thank you. I think this thing which you explained here makes sense, but on the other hand, this whole thing about the plural form and singular form, which we spoke about, is something that white supremacists in Western countries make a lot use of to propagate about Islam in a negative way. So what's the best way for us to combat these type of things? I mean, we could give them the answer which you gave right now, but do you have any additional suggestions to make on this issue?
I think this answer doesn't cross their opinion, because they are talking that God of Islam is tough, and the concept of God in Islam is with violence.
That God in the Quran is like an oppressor of some sort.
Yeah, this is what they claim. But now here I am talking about the force. The force is not used always for suppression or for harming or attacking others. Maybe the force is using to serve people or to protect people or to help people. As you know, the force is good, because if you have no force, you cannot, for example, work. You cannot change the world. You cannot take advantage of energies and benefits and prosperities. Here is referring to the force, but to the force, but not force for violence and for fighting and for suppressing, for doing the job, because this job is not a work of one person. For example, in public opinion, maybe people think that it is not easy for one person to do this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, nah, no, I am not alone. I have a lot of powers with me. I have a lot of, for example, servants and workers. So here is force, but not force for harming and for hitting and beating, for doing the job, for taking the responsibility. As the verse I recited for you, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra, inna lahu lahafizun, it is speaking about help, guarding Quran, protecting Quran, not for suppressing people or punishing people or being rude to them or rough to them or being violating them. It doesn't come to this meaning. Force is used for different purposes. Sometimes it's used for suppression or for punishment. But in many cases, like in the case of Moses, peace be upon him, and our prophet, when he entered the city of Madian, there were two daughters of Shu'aib, the prophet Shu'aib, peace be upon him. Because they were women, they could not, for example, give water to their ships and to the cattle. So Moses came and removed the stone, the very biggest stone, upon the wheel, and brought water for the ships and gave them. So this is force, but you to help people, to needy people, to weak people, help them. And like in, for example, the case of Jalut and Talut in Old Testament and in also Christian tradition, the nation of Israel needed a forceful and powerful commander to defend themselves. Here is force is coming to defend people. People should believe in somebody which is powerful, which has force. They told, we need a powerful commander here to help them, okay? And especially doing jobs and constructions and different works, development, for example, progress, needs power, energy. Without energy and power, you cannot change the world. You cannot make any kind of development. So here, force and energy is coming to help you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to approve for them, to argument for them that I have enough force and power to do this job.
I see. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. Dear listeners, that's it for today. We're finished with the recordings for this time and moment. I would like to give you our telephone number so that you can contact us in the case that you have questions or suggestions for us. The telephone number is 0098-251-291-0551. 0098-251-291-0551. Our website is www.radiomaref.com. Spelled like this, RadioMaref.ir. Our email address is RadioMaref, RadioMaref@IRIB.ir. Mr. Bharati, I would like to thank you. I hope to be with you again next session and next edition. Thank you very much for sharing your knowledge with us, and especially for me it was of much benefit.
As I said, I hope to be with you next time again. Good direction of discussion and leading the discussion to good results. Thank you very much. See you again.
My pleasure. Okay, dear listeners, fi amanillah.
Subhanallah, alhamdulillah. ولا إله إلا الله سبحان الله حمدا لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر سبحان الله Allah.